So, this morning I'm going to start off a question. I'm going to have a couple questions in my message this morning. The first question says, have you ever had the experience of trying to find something that you just put down? Happens every day in my household, believe me. You had it in your hand just a moment ago, but then you got distracted and totally lost track of it. Well, this is especially frustrating when it's something as important like your cell phone or a list of to go to the grocery store. Now, how is it that we can forget so completely and so quickly, even with something that seems so important at the time? And I thought, after thinking about this, I thought, this is how God treats our sin. When we confess it to Him and ask Him to forgive us, our Heavenly Father totally eliminates that sin from His record, from His memory, and from our life. When we honestly, and the key word, honestly and openly repent of our sin and confess it and ask Him forgiveness, He no longer remembers where He wrote it down. Now, rereading the verses from Psalm 103, verses 8 through 12, the Lord is compassionate and gracious. And nobody can argue with that, right? Slow to anger, abounding in love, no doubt. He will not always accuse nor harbor His anger forever. Big thank you for that, right? He does not treat us as our sin deserves or repay us according to our iniquities. Phew, praise the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. As far as from the east is from the west, so far as He removed our transgressions from us. Big amen to that, and how lucky you are to have such a loving and caring God. Now let me ask you a second question. Have you as a Christian ever taken back a sin that God has forgiven? Huh? Have you? Well, I think the answer would be yes for most of us, and probably for all of us. Have you ever wrapped yourself in guilt for something that you had already been pardoned for? We forget that God provided us the perfect sacrifice in His Son, Jesus Christ. Yet, and I mean yet, we Christians often confess our sins, and we go back fishing for them again as if to doubt God's forgiveness. We will sometimes languish in the memory of the past sins and beat ourselves up over things that God has completely and eternally forgiven us for. Now, I know this is a fact since I've been guilty of this very same thing. Our Heavenly Father must respond with a phrase like, what are you talking about? What sin? I don't remember that particular sin. Claire Barton, a founder of the American Red Cross, was never known to hold resentment against anyone. Once a friend recalled to her a cruel act that had happened to her some years previously, Claire did not seem to recall the incident. But her friend, don't you remember the wrong that was done to you? The friend asked Clara. Claire answered, no, I distinctly remember forgetting it. You see, if we believe that Jesus completely saved us, then we must also believe that God completely forgives us. In Hebrews 7:25, it says, therefore, He is able to save completely or forever those who come to God through Him, because He always lives to intercede for them. So maybe it is a fact that God's love towards us is so great that He just has a hard time accepting that we can be forgiven of so great or so many sins. The truth is that we can be completely forgiven if we just trust our sins over to Jesus. If we continue to hang on to guilt of those sins, it is like we are crucifying Jesus over and over again. It's as if we don't trust His sacrifice on the cross. In Romans 6 through 7 it says, which I read this morning, for we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that our body of sin might be done away with, that what we should no longer be slaves to sin, because anyone who has died has been free from sin. Our slavery to sin can only be broken by death. And in the film, this 1960 film Spartacus, remember the film 1960? Kirk Douglas played escaped slave Spartacus, who led a brief widespread slave rebellion in ancient Rome. At one point in the movie, Spartacus says, "Death is the only freedom a slave knows." That's why he's not afraid of it. We are set free from sin because the old self has died with Jesus on the cross. Now a new man, a free man, lives. Now, do you know that God has posted a sign in your memory? Did you know that? It's a simple sign. That sign says, no fishing. Huh? No fishing. I did not know that, but it is true. Our God does not want us casting our cares into a sea of sin that no longer exists. It is as if we are trying to fish on dry land, and you can't catch anything on dry land. It's impossible, so why do we go there? The Bible makes reference to a kind of sea that God puts our sin in. We call this sea of what? Forgetfulness. Since that is what happens when God puts sin there, it is forgotten. And in Micah 7:19 says, "He will return again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou will cast all their sins into the depths of the sea." Now, did you notice how many sins God puts in the sea? The verse says that all our sins will be cast and hurled into the sea. So here's another question. For today, what sins have you been trying to fish out lately? Have you been fishing out your own sins, still unable to forgive yourself, even though God has completely forgiven you? I share this story. I had a friend say something to me one time that hurt very deeply. I was speechless. I could not believe he could say it, that and mean it. When I had no response, he said, "I love you and don't want to see you hurt." My thought was, if you love me, how could you say such a terrible thing about someone I love dearly? But I was still speechless and just couldn't respond. Days and weeks passed and it was still bothering me. I prayed about it a lot and I thought I had forgiven him, but I couldn't forget. Weeks and months went by. I didn't dwell on this, but occasionally after my prayers and bedtime, I would think about it and couldn't seem to clear this from my thoughts. Therefore, I would have a restless night. Now, 2 years passed, and I began to doubt that I had ever forgiven him, and I decided I would talk to him about it and tell him how much his words had hurt. Before I could talk to him, I wanted to think about what I would say that would hurt him. I'm really not sure he would even remember what he had said to me then. I prayed about it, then I asked God to give me the right words to say. And after 4 days of praying about this, I began to think God wasn't listening to me. Then a sudden, it became clear. God had heard and answered my prayers. Yep. The answer was, say nothing, just forgive. And I did. And a sense of peace came over to me, and I had no more restless nights over that. See, we all do and say things at times that hurt someone. We need forgiveness, and we need to be able to forgive. Let's all pray for those that hurt and ask God to give us the grace to forgive them. Forgiving them gives us relief from hurt. When we can truly forgive, it allows healing to take place in our spiritual lives. And God knows he has to forgive us a lot. Forgiving others. Now, the first part of this message was about dealing with God forgiving you. And now we have to learn to forgive others. I don't know, but this forgiving and forgetting stuff is a lot to deal with as a Christian. I mean, come on! We've learned to love unconditionally, give unconditionally, and now we've got to forgive unconditionally and forget it? Come on, Lord, you know this world is a mess. I need some help here, right? I got my work here where people spread rumors and talk about each other. No, by the way, I may have said a few things about a coworker, but it really wasn't that bad. I got my family who won't talk to each other because we can't find common ground in politics. And by the way, my cousin's family got the family farm, and I got nothing. I don't like them anymore. And no, I'm not going to forgive my grandparents for not giving me anything. How do you like that, huh? How do you like that? I mean, come on, God, this Christian stuff is too hard. Oh, by the way, please forgive me. I'm doing my best. Now, another question is, have you been invited somewhere and you never really took the invitation? Then a few people sent an invitation a little bit later, and you finally decided to accept that invitation? Well, I'd like to share an invitation with you. It goes like this. I shook my head in disbelief. This couldn't be the right place. After all, I couldn't possibly be welcome here. I've been given an invitation several times by several different people, and I finally decided to see what this place was all about. But this just couldn't be the right place. I quickly glanced down at the invitation that I clutched in my hand. I scanned past the words that says, come as you are, no jacket required, and found the location, and yes, I was in the right place. I peered through the window again and saw a room full of people whose faces seemed to glow with joy. All were neatly dressed, adorned in fine garments, and appeared strangely clean. They dined at this exquisite restaurant. Ashamed, I looked down at my own tattered and torn clothing, covered in stains. I was dirty, in fact, filthy. A foul smile seemed to consume me, and I couldn't shake the grime that clung to my body. As I turned around to leave, the words from the invitation seemed to leap out at me. It says, come as you are. No jacket required. I decided to give it a shot. Marshaled up every bit of courage I could find. I opened the door to the restaurant and walked up to the man standing behind the podium. Your name, sir? He asked me with a simple smile. Jimmy D. Brown. I mumbled without looking up. I thrust my hands deep into my pockets, hoping to conceal their stains. He didn't even seem to notice the filth that I was covered in, and he continued, very good, sir. A table is reserved in your name. Would you like me to seat you? I couldn't believe what I heard. A grin broke out my face, and I said, yes, of course. He led me to the table, and sure enough, there was a place card with my name written on it in a deep, dark red. As I browsed over the menu, I saw many delightful items listed. There were things like peace, joy, blessings, confidence, assurance, hope, love, faith, forgiveness, and mercy. I realized this was no ordinary restaurant. I flipped the menu back to the front in order to see where I was at. I was at God's Grace, was the name of this place. The man returned and said, I recommend the special today. With it, you are entitled to heaping portions of everything on this menu. You got the kitty. I thought to myself, you mean I can have all this? What is it special today? I asked with excitement ringing in my voice. Salvation was his reply. Ah, salvation's the deliverance from sin and its consequences through faith. I'll take it, I practically cried out. And as I quickly made that statement, the joy left my body. A sick, painful ache jerked through my stomach and tears filled my eyes. Between my sobs, I said, mister, look at me. I'm dirty. I'm nasty. I'm unclean and unworthy of such things. I'd love to have all this, but I just can't afford it. Undaunted, the man smiled again. Sir, your check has already been paid. See that gentleman over there? He said, pointing to the front of the room. His name is Jesus. Turning, I saw a man whose very presence seemed to light the room. It was almost too much to look at. I found myself walking towards him in a shaking voice. I whispered, sir, I'll wash the dishes or sweep the floors or take out the trash. I'll do anything I can do to repay you for all this. He opened his arms and said with a smile, son, all of this is yours if you just come unto me. Ask me to clean up you up and I will. Ask me to allow you to feast at my table and you will eat. Remember, the table is reserved in your name. All you must do is accept this gift that I offer to you. Astonished, I fell at his feet and said, please, Jesus, please clean up my life. Please change me and sit me at your table and give me this new life. Immediately, I heard his words. It is finished. I looked down, white robes adorned my body. Something strange and wonderful had happened. I felt new, like a weight had been lifted off my shoulders and found myself seated at his table. The special of the day had been served. The Lord said to me, salvation is yours. We sat and talked for a great while, and I so enjoyed the time that I spent with him. He told me, me of all people, that he would like me to come back as often as I like for another helping from God's grace. He made it clear that he wanted me to spend as much time with him as possible. As it drew near time for me to go back outside into the real world, he whispered to me softly, though I'm always with you. And then he said something to me that I'll never forget. He said, my child, do you see these empty tables? Yes, Lord, I see them. What do they mean? I replied. These are reserved tables, but the individuals whose names on each place card have not accepted their invitation yet. Would you be so kind as to hand out these invitations to those who have not joined us as of yet? Jesus asked. Of course, I said with excitement as I picked up the invitations. Go ye forth into all nations, he said as I turned to leave. I walked into God's grace, dirty and hungry, stained in sin, my righteousness in filthy rags, and Jesus cleaned me up. I walked out a brand new man, robed in white, his righteousness, and so I will keep the promise to my Lord. I will go and spread the word. I'll share the gospel. I'll hand out the invitations. And I'll start with you. Have you been to God's grace? There's a table reserved in your name. The special of the day is salvation. Yes, this Christian life is tough. But sometimes it just doesn't seem fair. And I'll close with this statement. If our greatest need in this world would have been information, God would have sent us what? An educator. If our greatest need in this world would have been technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need would have been money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was what? Forgiveness. So God sent us his Savior. Amen. Oh.